We have Jesus reigning and ruling today, don't we? Do we recognize His rule in our lives? We need to. Or does man rule us? Or does materialism rule us? Or does ambitions rule us? Morals rule us? The law rule us? Who rules over us? Is the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, sovereign in your life? And does He reign and rule in your heart now in the present? Is He just present, or is He president in your life?
Thank you for joining us this morning. You just heard from Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. You can find out more about us and get directions even sent to your phone from our website, or listen to more sermons and audio. Our website is SharonBaptistConcord.com. Now, our address is 2628 Shady Lane Avenue, if you don't have internet, so no excuses. Come visit us. We are open Sundays 10:45. We do offer face masks at the door and do take temperatures, practice social distancing and all of that. But it is a biblical church, and we want you to get the Word of God, because there's nothing more important than the Word of God. Oh, by the way, if you'd like to watch us on Facebook, we live stream our services at 10:45. Facebook is Sharon Baptist Concord. So without further ado, here's Pastor James Strickland.
In thinking about Jesus dying for us, I want to raise a question and hopefully answer it. They always taught us in college and seminary that if you raise a question, you need to answer it. So I'm going to try to answer the question I'm going to raise. I'm going to ask the question for the message title. Who rules you? Who rules you? Turn with us, please, to the book of St. Luke, chapter number 19. I'm going to begin reading here in verse number 11 and read through verse number 14 in Gospel of St. Luke, chapter number 19, verses 11 through 14. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. That would be about 20 pounds in our modern day monetary value today. And he delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to rule or to reign over us. There was much confusion about the kingdom of God and who's reigning. Now, we know that Jesus reigns and rules, don't we, over the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. We know that to be sure. But there was confusion going on here, and they thought, the Bible says, that Jesus was going to just usher in the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Immediately they thought it was going to appear. They thought Jesus was going to just set up his rule and reign in Jerusalem immediately. Jesus is reigning over his kingdom. He will ultimately one day set up his rule on this earth. But I want to ask you, listen to this, who's reigning over you now? We'll never understand this passage until there's probably three things we need to look at to kind of get us in perspective to look at the message. The first thing is this. We need to look at Jesus reigning as ruler and king from the historical applications from the past. In John chapter 1, verse 11, it says, Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, we know that in the past to be a fact, because if you go back and just look at history, when Jesus was born, Herod heard about the king, the ruler who was coming. And so he decided he'd have all the children, little boy babies, from 3 years and younger, wiped out. So he thought to kill the king, kill the rule of Jesus before it ever started. And you follow down in Jesus' life as he was born, as he grew up into manhood, as he began his public ministry. Everywhere that Jesus went, he was despised and rejected and mocked and scoffed at, as even one time was called a wine bibber. We'd call that an alcoholic today. Friend of sinners. All kinds of things was centered upon Jesus and hating him. And then follow on down his life, and he was eventually brought to trial and uncrucified. They hated Jesus to the point that he died on the cross. That's from the historical application of him being king. But there's another thing we need to look at from the prophetic application of Jesus. That's from the future. If you turn with me, please, over to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. I want you to look at verse 9 through 11. Historical application, now will be the prophetic application of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. So if you look at the prophetic application of Jesus reigning and ruling, we know that he's in the future going to reign and rule all things in heaven, all things on earth, all things under the earth. We know he'll rule over Confucius. He'll rule over Muhammad. He'll rule over Allah. He'll rule over Hitler. He'll rule over every other so-called savior that's ever been or ever will be. So the prophetic application is this. He's ruler now. He's ruler then. He was ruler back then. And now we need to look at the spiritual application of the present. We have Jesus reigning and ruling today, don't we? Do we recognize his rule in our lives? We need to. Or does man rule us? Or does materialism rule us? Or does ambitions rule us? Morals rule us? The law rule us? Who rules over us? Is the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, sovereign in your life? And does he reign and rule in your heart now in the present? Is he just present? Or is he president in your life? Let's consider Jesus reigning and ruling. Three things I want to add. First of all, number one, why should Jesus rule and reign in your life? Look at verse 12 here. Look at verse 12 carefully. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Jesus represents here this nobleman. He's not just a nobleman. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look at this nobleman's birth. Think about his birth. To be a nobleman, Jesus Christ was virgin born. He was high and holy. He was given a name, the Bible says, above all other names. He's unique, the only one of his particular kind. No king's ever been like this king. So why should he reign over you? Well, first of all, because who he is. He's a nobleman. This nobleman in this particular parable was like a king over his own reign, his own control, his own authority, his own passage, you might say. Before and after conception, Jesus Christ has been ruler. He's ruler now. He's always going to be ruler. He's virgin born. He was more than a man, although he was a man. He was the God-man. He was enough man to go to Calvary's cross and die for your sins and die for my sins. He was enough God that he rose again on the third day in glory. Hallelujah. And he says today, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's why I feel he's qualified to rule over me. It's because of who he is. But also, I feel qualified he's able to rule over you and I because of what he's doing. Verse 12 says, this nobleman went into a far country, and he was going to come and receive his kingdom. Jesus came from heaven, from the far country of sin he came to here. From heaven to here. the far country, as far as you can get away from God, he came here to die for your sins. And he's going to receive this kingdom that he's come to prepare. He's going to return just like this nobleman was going to return. They knew he was going to return. He told them that he was going to. Jesus said, I'm going to return for this kingdom. Well, he went far away. He went to Golgotha. He died on the cross. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. Now where's our ruler? He's seated on the right hand of God the Father in heaven on the throne. Ready now, listen, ready to receive his kingdom. That's why I believe, you see, he's qualified to rule over me because of who he is, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. He's going to return. He gave his servants in this parable 10 pounds, some of money, to occupy, to do business with it till he comes again, and he then would come and return and receive his kingdom. How's Jesus going to return this time? I heard a song the other day that touched my heart deeply. It talks about Jesus returning again this time. He's not going to return as a baby. He's not going to return to be crucified and mocked and scorned and beaten. He's not going to return this time to wear a crown of thorns. He's going to wear the diadem of heaven. That's what he's going to do. Are you ready for him to return for you? If you're not, you need to get ready today. Because this king, this nobleman here could come back at any time. He didn't tell them when he's coming back. He just said, I'm coming back to receive this kingdom. You occupy, you work it, you do what you can do to help along the way. And I'm going to return one day, and our Lord's going to come and return, and that's why I believe he should reign over my life, because of who he is, what he's done, and what he's doing. But a second question I want to ask, not just why he should rule in my life and yours, the second question is this: where should he rule? Where should he reign in your life and mine? Look at verse 14. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. It's his empire, the nobleman. It's Jesus' kingdom. Why shouldn't he then rule over his own empire? Why shouldn't he then control you and I who are a part of his kingdom? Why shouldn't he reign over the whole person at all time? Let me give you some help on that. Where should he reign and rule in your life? First of all, he should reign and rule over your body, your soul, and your spirit. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and look at verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That means totally, not just holy, holy, but holy, totally. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. Now listen, beloved, you can't see a person's soul. You can't see a person's spirit. But you can see a person's body. That's where he should be ruling and reigning in my life and yours today, over our bodies, our souls, and our spirit. Like I say, you can't see the soul, you can't see the spirit, but you can see the body. Now listen, when the body doesn't act right, and when the body doesn't live right, it's a pretty good indication there's something wrong in the soul and in the spirit. Of that, you can be sure. You can see who's reigning and ruling in a person's life by the way that body acts and the way that body lives in this life. Because you see, your body controls your eyes, your ears, your lips, your hands, your feet, your emotions. The body shows today who has control over your life. The body shows today who's really reigning and ruling in your life and in mine, doesn't it? Let me give an example. Would you be ashamed today if Jesus Christ came right now how you lived this past week? Would you be ashamed of what you said? Finding out that Jesus sees all that you do, all that you think, all that you say, all that you go, everything that's involved in your life, He sees it, He knows it. Would you be ashamed today? Are you ready to meet Him if you should come right now and call us home? You see, He should be reigning in the total body, soul, and spirit. But I think He also should be reigning in our hearts, in our minds, and in our wills. Listen, the mind controls the thinking. The heart controls the loving. And the will controls the choosing. You know, your emotions, the mind. Who has control over your mind? Who rules in your will? Who rules in your heart? Think back this past week. The mind. Have you really had some good thinking last week? The New Testament teaches us all these wonderful things. Think on these lovely things. Think on these things. Think on things above, not things down here. Think what you've thought about this past week in your mind. What about your heart? Have you done something really loving from your heart this past week? Your mind, your heart, and your will. Have you made some good choices last week or some poor choices last week? I know we all sin. From the pulpit to the pews, we're all sinners. We have problems. Every one of us commits sin. I know that we do. But we're not perfect. But we have a perfect example to follow, don't we? We all are trying to strive to do the right thing, aren't we? Don't we want to do that? We must learn to pray then, Lord, Thy will be done, my will go undone. So you see, He should be ruling and reigning over your mind, your heart, and your will, your body, your soul, and your spirit. And there's three compartments of our lives. I want to just quickly point those out. Over which Jesus Christ should be reigning and ruling all the time. Because it's where we live all the time. It's first of all in our private lives. You don't have one secret you've kept from Jesus. Not one. So you see, He should be ruling in our private life, shouldn't He? But then we have also a home life. Our families know us better than anybody else. They know if you go home and scream and shout at your mate or your children, they know all about that. They know how you laugh. They know how you sing. They know how you treat each other in your home life. They know how preachers preach at home as well as behind the pulpit. So you see, He should be ruling and reigning in our lives, our private lives, our home lives, but then in our public lives too. May shock you to find out, but every church has at least one hypocrite in it. The first church had at least two, I know. So He knows, you see, about my public life. Everywhere I go, all that I do. And then we all have some sort of a business life. And you should treat everybody the way you should want to be treated. If He rules and reigns in your heart and in my heart, you're going to treat everybody like you should be treated and want to be treated. Business life. How you deal with others. You see, that's where Jesus should be ruling and reigning in our hearts every day. Now my third and last question is this. When is He going to reign and rule in our lives? That verse 14 says, His servants said, we will not have this man to reign over us. I do not know at the times over the many years I've heard people say, and look at me in the face, but sometime with vengeance and scorn, I won't have Jesus Christ ruling over me. I'm going to live my life like I want to live it. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm just like these servants here. I'm not going to have Him to rule and to reign over me. He can't tell me what to do. He can't tell me how to live, where to go, how to act. You can tell in a moment's notice in a person's life if Jesus Christ really rules their life. Two things I want you to see. You can tell, number one, if they submit their will to Jesus authority. These servants said, we'll not have Him. We will not have Him rule over us. Their wills were not touched. A person whose will has been touched today will submit his will to the authority of the Lord Jesus' will. Most of the world today has said that. Most of our nation, who supposed to have been a Christian nation at one time, it probably was, we will not have Jesus to rule over us. We have high-level ranking government officials and leaders today who don't even recognize Jesus Christ at all. They say this and do that. It shows me they don't understand what it means to have Jesus Christ to rule in their life. They said, we're not going to obey this nobleman. We're going to take his money, but we're not going to do what he said. He's not going to rule over us. Listen to me carefully in your life and mine. Submission of your will and mind to the authority of Jesus Christ shows the beauty of the King ruling in your heart. Now, I'll say that again. The submission of your will and mind to the authority of Jesus Christ, He lives through us the beauty of the King ruling in our hearts. So you see, He should be right now having authority over us. But a second thing, you're not just submitting to your will to His authority, but also surrendering your own self to Him. They said, we're not going to surrender to this king. We're not going to obey this nobleman. We're not going to have him to rule over us. That's what most people are saying today. We'll not have Jesus Christ to rule over us. You know, they may not in this life, but they will in the next life. So many have said, we'll not have him to rule over us. We must surrender to Jesus Christ in all our ambitions, our motives, our health, our loved ones, our money, our time, our talents, and our children, and our jobs. All must be surrendered unto Him, to His will. I'm going to close with this statement again. Is Jesus ruling over you? You know if He is, and you know if He's not. Do you pay homage to Him as King? What homage have you paid to Him last week until this moment today? Is He in charge, total charge of your life? Or are you in charge? Is He ruling or are you ruling? Will you have this man Jesus to rule over you? And I'm going to tell you before God and all these witnesses, I will have Him rule over me. He's been my King since I got saved. He's my King today. He's my ruler. He's my master. He's my sovereign. And one day I'm going to see Him face to face. And I'm going to live with Him forever and forever and forever. I can't serve Him now like I want to. I've got too much sin to deal with. We all do. But on that glorious hallelujah day, when I step over on the other side with that perfect body, we'll give Him perfect praise, perfect service, perfect honor and glory that He so deserves. But you know something, until that day comes, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God who lives in my heart, controls my mind and my will, my body, my soul, my spirit, until that day comes, His Spirit lives in me to help me accomplish the fact that the world can see that Jesus Christ rules over me. Is He ruling over you? Maybe you need to get off the throne of your life today and invite Jesus to get on the throne of your life, because He's the one, you see, who deserves to be on the throne of your life. Not you, not me. It's Him. That space is reserved for Jesus Christ and Him alone. And I'm so thankful that I've given up my life to Him, my will, my mind, my all. Have you done that? Would you do that today? If you have never done it, now's a good time to start before we meet Him. You see, because the King's coming back for His kingdom. He's going to return. These noblemen are going to have to give an account of what they did with His pounds or His money. We're going to have to give an account, church, individuals. We're going to have to give an account of what we've done with what He's entrusted to us when He comes. Not if He comes, when He comes. But when He comes, I want to be ready to meet Him when He comes. Lord Jesus, I pray today You'll purge Your church as You promised to do. Purge out of our lives those things that are displeasing to You. And help us, Lord Jesus, by the control of the Holy Spirit of God in our life, that we will be the kind of servants who will say, we will have this man to rule over us. And He will be our King. He'll be our sovereign. He'll be our Lord. He'll be our master. And we'll serve him both now and forever. Then I pray for those, Lord, who may not have ever today recognized Jesus as King from the historical place, from the prophetic place, and the future time. He's always going to be King. And they'd want him today. They'd want to come to him today and say, Lord Jesus, I want to give you my life. I want to give you all my all today. Would they come, I pray. Those who may have never known Jesus Christ as Lord, may they today receive you. What a joy in our heart to know that when the King comes, we'll be ready to meet him. We ask, Lord Jesus, today, you'd help us to live a life that others can see Jesus in us. We pray in your blessed name, Lord Jesus, that name that God the Father gave you, that's above every name. And at that name, every knee will one day bow. Every tongue will one day confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, is King, is ruler. To the glory of God the Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
That was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. We'd love to have you come join us. It's a biblical church. It's not going to be a rock concert. It's not going to be one of those health, wealth, and prosperity sermons, obviously. We're going to preach from the Bible, expository style, meaning we're going to pull out of Scripture what's already in there. We're not going to add stuff to it like a lot of churches do. We're not there to put on a show. It's not going to be a three-ring circus. We're here to build lives on the Word of God, because the Word of God is so important in everyone's life. You can come join us for services. We'd love to have you. We have services on Sunday at 10:45. Our address is 2628 Shady Lane Avenue, right here in Concord, North Carolina. You can get those directions sent straight to your phone from our website. Our website is SharonBaptistConcord.com. Now, if you want to come visit us, we do offer face masks at the door. We do take the temperatures. We also practice social distancing, all that. If you don't want to come visit us, watch us online. You can check us out on Facebook. We live stream our services at 10:45 as well. Sharon Baptist Concord is how you can find us on Facebook. Of course, our website is SharonBaptistConcord.com. God bless you. Again, thank you for joining us. You can find out more about us and even get directions to come visit us on our website at SharonBaptistConcord.com. God bless you.